The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, you might have heard on News Talk Breakfast today, the Sinn Féin TD from Roscommon Galway, Claire Curran, talking about the party's childcare proposals ahead of the looming general election. It will be possible, she says, to introduce €10 a day childcare, and it will cost about €350 million in state funding. Sinn Féin joining effectively all of the big parties, all the major parties, almost all politicians in this country ahead of that election, talking about ways in which childcare can and should be made cheaper. But should they be going further? Should they be offering support to parents who want to mind the children at home? Wendy Grace, the broadcaster and columnist, is with me. Wendy, thanks a million for taking the time to chat to us. Do you think there should be supports for parents to raise the kids at home?
I find it extraordinary, Ciara, that the government time and time again is actually ignoring the needs of what parents actually want. When you look at every piece of kind of research or polling that's been done, people are asked, if you could stay at home with your children in the early years, if money wasn't the barrier, would you like to do that? 70% of people say they would like to have a parent at home. And obviously, you know, what they're doing is just ignoring that. They're saying, you know what, we will subsidise childcare. We will pay anybody but you to look after your own children, even when that's what you actually want. I can't understand why there can't be a system where the money follows the child. And by that, I mean, if I'm a working mum, the subsidy can go to a grandparent, a creche, or to me if I choose to stay at home. But instead, we're just saying we're going to funnel it all in one direction. And they're actually speaking out of two sides of their mouth, because their own policy, their 1,000 days policy and the first five policy on children, is basically says, look, all of the kind of international research would say in the early years, if possible, it's best to have a primary caregiver at home. I'm talking about the very early years, the first 1 to 2 years of life. So they're not actually consistent. And the sad thing is, I know that there is parents listening across the country now that would love to have been at home in the early years with their small children, and they couldn't, because unlike what our constitution is supposed to do, and we had a lot of discussion about during the referendum, they by economic necessity have to leave their home. So we used to make the joke here about, you know, oh, women were chained to the sink. Well, now there's women across the country that feel they're chained to their desk, and they're dropping small children off at crashes in their pyjamas, and they're picking them up in their pyjamas, and they don't want to do that. Now, this isn't about criticising that, because I've done it all. I've had grandparents crash, been at home myself. I've had kind of the experience of all of them.
Yeah.
It's really just about offering. Why not? Why not say whatever way you want to spend, whatever amount it is, then not, even, you know, before,
yeah,
I think it was in like 2006, there was an extra credit given that was abolished kind of during the crash. Then that money was just refunneled towards kind of institutionalized childcare. So I just think it's not actually listening to parents.
What about the argument that some might make that one of the reasons the government seek to subsidize kind of crashes and Montessori and childcare facilities rather than the parents at home is that you subsidize the parents at home, or you offer some sort of financial support, be it a tax credit or something else, and it costs you double because you're also taking them out of the labour force.
Yeah, but are we units of production or are we people? And that's the problem. That's,
well, I guess
OECD
maybe if you were
described,
kind of taking the cold economic point of view, you'd say the former. You're a unit of production.
That's what the OECD described women as when they were looking at this issue. And you know what? The reality is, if you just want to look at it from that economic perspective, Ciarán, most people, the average family now, will have 1 to 2 children. So if we're taking some time out in the early, you're talking about 3 or 4 years out of your working life to spend that precious time, if that's your choice. For another mum or dad, it could be a totally different choice. And also, I think it allows for more equity, because if the money followed the child, let's say, for example, I had a new baby and I decide I'd love to stay at home for the first year, and then the money followed the child, my husband decided, well, I'm going to stay at home for the second year. I think it would encourage actually more gender equality in the workplace as well. But, you know, this is all part of a system that's created the dual economy, whereby most people simply can't afford not to work. And it kind of devalues parenthood as well. And we have a situation where we are more time poor, more tired, more stressed, more anxious than ever before. It's not liberating for anybody.
Well, this kind of utopia you describe, where there's equality amongst the sexes when it comes to minding the children, I mean, that won't happen though, will it? It's one of the consequences of doing this that you just end up with lower levels of female participation in the labour force. We're already lower than the kind of OECD average. Now, we've closed the gap to a huge degree over the last 15, 20 years, but we're still lower than the OECD average. And you know as well as I do, it's mostly mums who are going to be at home.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting
thing is, Wendy, there's no way in God's green earth I'm staying at home with them.
My husband probably says the same, but when you look at Nordic countries where they're way better at this than us, the gender pay gap actually isn't that much different here. I think the only thing that's going to really level the playing field more is, you see, if we keep funneling money into institutionalized childcare and ignoring parents who want to stay at home, we're actually creating an economy where we're not encouraging flexibility. There is no reason why I can't be the CEO of any company and working part-time and flexibly if that was something that we fought for. But that's not happening at the moment because it's going to create a situation where, well, if we've got kind of paid for full-time childcare, but we're discouraging you. We're saying we will do anything to dissuade you from your actual choice, which is to be at home with your children for a certain amount of time. You know, I just think it's not actually listening. It's not listening to people. And it's not taking into account for particular families. Like if I decide, you know what's best for me and my children, I'm a better mum if I'm working or if I'm not working. You know, that's up to me to decide what's best for my family. But the government is saying, actually, we're going to tell you what's best for you by only saying you get support for one type of childcare, you know?
And do you suspect it is because the government or the state does view us as kind of economic units or modes of production or units of production rather, or is it a kind of a cultural legacy to our attempt maybe over those 15 or 20 years to kind of shrug off the kind of the shackles of the past in this country? We felt maybe we were kind of playing a cultural catch up with all our European neighbours. And part of that was increasing kind of female labour force participation and all of that. And that there's still on some level, and maybe it's a subconscious thing, but maybe still on some level amongst policymakers is an idea that we're kind of going back into the past in Ireland by encouraging people to stay at home.
So why not ask, you know, and when you look at all of the research that's done on this, parents are saying we want to have the choice. So why are they not listening to parents? And it'd be pretty obvious if they made a kind of...
Well, I guess my question is that, why do you think they're not listening to parents?
The honest reason is, I think that those who are pushing these policies are of a particular mindset. You have, you know, if you're a female politician, for example, that's your worldview. You're a kind of working woman. You're going to fight your corner. You have groups like the National Women's Council of Ireland who have continually ignored mums who stay at home, who are pleading with them to advocate for them. The problem is, Ciarán, parents who are working at home, they don't have an advocate. They don't have a voice. I'm speaking to you now as a working mum, but I'm also trying to advocate for those who want to stay at home full time. There's very few people that are actually doing that, being a voice for those people. There really should be a proper representation of them, but instead they're just kind of siloed, and it's really just only a particular type of woman is represented in these circles. So those who are making the policy, I think they're stuck in a little bit of a bubble. They're ignoring what parents want, and they're ignoring their own kind of their own policy papers on what's good for children. But really, it really does come back to that word of just parents being given the choice of how they'll care for their children, especially in the early years.
Tommy says, Charlie McCreevy chased the women out of the kitchen by individualising the tax system. They were given the choice to work but lost the choice to stay at home. We're seen as an economy, not as a society. Ray says, though, the right of parents to stay at home was destroyed by introducing, the same thing, compulsory tax individualisation to force both parents into the workforce. But here's a couple of texts along the same lines. More people looking for stuff for free. Why should the taxpayer pay for your kids? And is this woman serious? Surely the subsidisation of childcare by the state is to facilitate mothers and fathers to work. If you want to stay at home and mind your kids, don't expect me to pay for it. Ludicrous stuff. What do you say to that?
Well, doesn't that just show you how little parenthood has been devalued? So you're saying you don't value me caring for my child, but you value somebody else doing it. And I suppose it's looking at everything in economic terms, isn't it? Rather than actually it's interesting, the same reason that ask parents, hey, how do you want your kids to be cared for? Parents who stay at home, the majority say, I feel totally undervalued as society. But you know what, Ciarán, for most people listening, for me and for you, the most important things in our lives is our children, is our families, is getting that precious time with them. And, you know, I have to say, I think no matter how much we subsidise childcare, the system we've created of, and I've been there, two parents working 50 hours a week and trying to mind small children. No matter how cheap or free it is, the level of stress and anxiety that that brings, I don't think is going to change.
No, don't think so. Wendy, thanks a million for chatting to us. Wendy Grace, broadcaster and columnist. Tapping to get on and off buses. What is child allowance for? Says somebody else, though, on this topic, on the bus topic. Kieran, we think we are world leaders with all the tech companies here. We can't even get a bank card to work on a bus. That's something we spoke about a little bit earlier, not with Wendy. We're going to be talking about public transport after 5 o'clock, not about tap on, tap off, but about the new rail timetable that's causing consternation, I understand, for some people out there. It's been in situ now for a couple of weeks and already there's some tweaks happening, according to Irish Rail. If you've been impacted by this new system, this new timetabling system, 087 1400 106 is the number if you want to get in touch on Wendy's conversation with myself. James in Waterford says, we are being told that the birth rate is falling across Europe, hence the migration increase to fill the workplace gaps. Would it not make more sense to promote couples to have more children by having government support for one parent to stay at home? So says James. Anyway, James, thank you for the text. 087 1400 106.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.